Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Hi, Jackson. Grandsons are here. And I know we got some other grandsons and daughter. Grandson and daughter in the back there, too. It's great. I do want to extend a really special thank you to Pastor Daniel, who has returned from Ghana. And we're so happy to have you back. But I'm even more thrilled because I got this really nice, neat stole, I guess. Maybe you noticed. And so I think that qualifies me to go back to Ghana with him, which he's invited me several times. Would love to do that. So, Pastor Daniel, thank you so much for this. I will treasure it. He also gave me a bracelet, this really cool beaded bracelet, and I forgot to put it on, doggone it, because it means that in his culture that I'm a king. And he gave one to Marty and said, and you're the queen. And I said, well, just make sure you tell her I'm the king and she's the queen. To which he says, behind every good king is it the brains of a queen. I don't think he knows how right he was in that statement. What refreshes your heart? A profitable return on investment? Well, yeah. Watching your kids grow up into amazing adults, giving you grandkids that are just the joy of your life. A promotion to a job for a job well done. Breaking a personal record in some athletic feat. Or just watching the Cards beat the Cubs like they did last night. Oh, come on, say it with me. Go Cards! Sorry, Sean. In the letter to Philemon, we see that Paul wants his heart to be refreshed. But it wasn't about any of those things that I just mentioned. Paul wanted his refreshment to be in Christ. Paul had a rich encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. You know the story. There on the road, he was chasing and arresting followers of Jesus when the Lord appeared to him and redirected his zeal away from persecuting the church to becoming its greatest evangelist and pastor. What might seem to others as a mental breakdown, on the contrary, his conversion was life-renewing. Paul's life became the most shocking about-face we've ever seen. He traveled from Jerusalem along the coast of modern-day Turkey into Greece and over to Greece and Italy, and what a ministry he had. Some suggest that he had even traveled more than was recorded in Scripture. When Paul writes a letter to his partner in Christ, Philemon, he's in prison. The occasion of this letter describes a situation that shows the difficulty anyone in ministry will encounter. Take note, Brother Matthew. What's going on here? At some point in Paul's ministry, a man named Onesimus heard Paul's preaching about Jesus. Paul was proclaiming that Jesus is the long-expected Messiah. Surely his previous life in Judaism and his life-shaking encounter with Jesus was a powerful message. Oh, to have ears to hear that message delivered from the lips of St. Paul. Paul had a great reputation for being a Jew, was on the cutting edge of all of his contemporaries. He was leading the pack. He continued, though, to have great zeal, but now it was directed to proclaiming the excellencies of him who literally brought him out of darkness, blindness, into the marvelous light of Jesus. The message was transforming. At some point in Onesimus' catechism instruction, he reveals that he's a runaway slave. In Jesus' day, people often gave themselves to become slaves or indentured servants in order to escape a debt. It was more like employment rather than slavery, which we encountered in America in the early part of our nation's history. Totally different. It is likely that Philemon invested in Onesimus by paying his debt, to which he would serve his master until his debt was repaid. And by running away, basically what was happening was Onesimus was sticking Philemon with the bill without giving him their agreed upon services. It would be like purchasing a really expensive product that when you received it and took it home and got it going, you realize this doesn't work. And by the time you contact the company and find out they're in bankruptcy, then they're not going to honor their return policy. But everything changed for Onesimus when he heard the gospel. He repented and was willing to go back to his former stiff manager, his master, and serve out the terms of his agreement, not begrudgingly, but willingly. But Paul, who saw the usefulness, that's actually what Onesimus' name meant, beneficial, useful, in his mission work. And so he sets out to write a letter to Philemon. Philemon was also changed by the preaching of Paul and became what he describes as a partner in faith. In other words, he supported St. Paul's ministry. In this letter, the apostle asks Philemon, doesn't command him, to release Onesimus so that he can be of some useful service to Paul as he continues to proclaim Jesus to the world. And he concludes by saying, refresh my heart in Christ. Professor Jack Preuss III was on campus when I was at the seminary. I was unfortunate in that I did not have him as a professor. I wish I had. I think he actually knew Marty better than he knew me because she ran the snack bar at the seminary and she knew everybody. She introduced me to some of the professors I hadn't met. But somehow he had reached out in a way that was so special to me and I treasure to this day. You know, those at the top of the seminary chain tended to be of German ancestry. Nothing wrong with that. They knew the language of Luther, as I say, and were exceptional and are exceptional scholars. And so was Dr. Preuss, but he wasn't of German ancestry. I was soon to find out that he was a Norwegian, just like us. And after the graduation ceremony, he came up to me and with some really kind congratulations. And he, ever personal professor that he was, said, "We Norwegians have to stick together in this German culture." And that was his way, just building relationships for the sake of the mission to proclaim Jesus to the world. There's so much more in his life. I want to share just part of what I read on his obituary if you hadn't seen it. I didn't realize that he had served as a Navy chaplain and was actually assigned to a battalion in the Marine Corps during the Gulf War. He taught systematics at Concordia Seminary. That's kind of the doctrine of the church. And soon became the dean of students. He was exceptional. He became the third president of Concordia University in Irvine, California, and expanded there during his term, expanded their attendance over 150%. That's pretty amazing. His programs and his staff were the best and the brightest. He got resources to build housing for the students. He worked to establish missionary and student exchange opportunities in China, Japan, Hong Kong, Korea, Taiwan, and Thailand. He served as a consultant and speaking on the intersection of contemporary culture and faith, traveled and taught extensively over Latin America. I failed to mention that he was a major in Spanish when he was in college. Taught extensively in Latin America, Africa, Asia, South Asia, and the U.S. Towards the end of his career, he went to Bethesda, and he contributed to the expansion of Bethesda's international collaboration and helped establish Bethesda College in Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Mequon, Wisconsin. From 2014 to 2019, he was the executive director for Luther Institute in Southwest Asia, working in Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Myanmar, and Indonesia. His life reminds me so much of St. Paul, who traveled just so far and wide. And it wasn't that he had just a magnetic personality. It was all about his service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every endeavor for him, and some of them were really challenging, those things were refreshments as he took the gospel of Jesus to the world. What I take from Dr. Preuss's life is that ministering in this broken world brings all kinds of interesting challenges. Paul didn't walk softly in making his request to Philemon because he was a servant in chains for the gospel. Every situation was not necessarily a hardship, though worldly speaking they were, and he knew many, but an opportunity to serve Christ and to be refreshed in Christ. You know, we don't know the end of the story. It just kind of ends with this letter requesting that he release Onesimus. But, you know, Onesimus actually delivers the letter to Philemon, which is interesting in itself. So we don't know what happens. But there is a reference in history that talks about a bishop of Epaphras named Onesimus. And if it's true that he is the same character, that would probably mean that Philemon said, "Paul, I want to release Onesimus of all his debt and give him to you to serve the ministry of Jesus' cause." That's awesome. You know, Paul's life was harder than any of us will ever imagine in our life or know. How hard was it? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me just read you this portion of Scripture, starting at verse 24. He said, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one." So 39 lashes was basically a death sentence. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, though many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for the churches." That was Paul's life when he had gotten his call to become a disciple and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know, if you haven't noticed, and I know you have, we live in a broken world. Sickness and disease surround us. Ever-changing viruses are continuing to interrupt our relationships with others. Assistance with mental health issues are kicked down the road for another generation to solve. Wars within and outside our country are raging. Threats of nuclear holocaust are unthinkable and yet seem to be on many people's minds. There are too many soldiers who have been injured, damaged mentally and physically by war, seeking support through private and individual entities to find some refreshment in their life from the challenges they face every day, while we spend trillions of dollars on instruments of war. Politics continue to divide rather than unify. The economy favors the powerful and oppresses the weak, leaving many to struggle from cradle to grave. And sadly, these issues will not leave until Jesus returns. But my friends, that's the gospel we preach. Christ died the death we earned. Christ rose to give us the life we didn't deserve. And Christ is coming again to take us home to our eternal rest, where all the fears and fraught we endure in this world shall be removed forever. We might get a little earthly refreshment seeing the cards win, but not everyone gets the refreshment, do they? Especially the Cubs fans. However, true refreshment comes to all by honoring and serving Jesus Christ. Every victory for the kingdom is of greater refreshment than any investment gain, any promotion, any personal athletic advancement. The church continues to preach Jesus Christ crucified, seeking our refreshment in his ministry, of which we all are a part. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. So let us seek refreshment in being partners with St. Paul, with Jack Preuss, and with our church family throughout the world, proclaiming the victory over sin, death, and hell through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our task. And we join a cloud of witnesses in this wonderful gift of ministry that God has given us. Let's get on board. In Jesus' name, amen.